Oh, man. I ask you to turn tonight to Ezekiel chapter 16. And, I see the weather's getting bad outside, so I'm going to be like the chicken that was going to lay the egg in the middle of the highway. I'm going to lay it on the line and be quick about it, okay? Because I do get nervous sometimes. Ezekiel 16 and verse number 1. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee, nor was thou salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. And I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to an excellent ornament. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger's skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, thy raiment of fine linen and silk, and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and played the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on every one that passeth by. His it was. Father, we thank you tonight that we have this opportunity. We can come and assemble ourselves here in the house of the Lord. And we ask you tonight, dear Lord, as we look tonight into your word, that you might bless it in a very special way. Tonight, Lord, that you might do for us what only you can do. And Father, tonight as we look into your word, we pray tonight, Lord, that it'll go forth in great power because of the Spirit of God using it again in our hearts and our lives. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just want to kind of give you a brief introduction of some things this evening. But it seemed like Oscar Wilde many years ago was riding on a train, and as the conductor came through collecting tickets, he began to search through his coat and his pants and everything that he had, and he couldn't find his ticket. And the conductor looked at him and said, that's okay, Mr. Wilde. I know you're a friend of the president. And I know your reputation and that you'll be able to mail the fare back in. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about it, my good man. I can't find my ticket. I don't know where I was going. You know, sometimes we don't know where we're going. Tonight I ask you this question. What is the destination of the United States of America? Where tonight are we headed? And what is our final destination? Now, I do believe tonight without any hesitation tonight that Jesus Christ is physically coming again to this world, that he is the blessed hope of all the nations tonight. And that one day he's going to ascend from heaven with his armies tonight clothed in fine linen and riding upon white horses. And he's going to come tonight to conquer as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to assume the kingdom that is rightfully his tonight. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. I believe tonight as we study through the scripture, we can find that we cannot pinpoint the day or the hour. I would never attempt to do that. But many places in scripture tonight give us some great insights into the times preceding the return of our Lord. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 gives us a great description of the last days. And of course those last days are the time when Jesus went back until he does return again. But Paul begins to elaborate and talk about the description and the perilous times that will take place, I believe, immediately preceding the time that Jesus will come again. And we're living in those days this evening. We're living in those times when Jesus tonight, I believe, could come at any moment of time. But tonight, as I read biblical prophecy, and as I study the Word of God, sometimes I ask this question, is there a mention of the United States of America in the Bible? Now, I do not mean tonight that wrote out in English, the English language, United States of America. But is there any place in the scripture that we can find among all the nations of the world, the United States is mentioned even in the last days? The closest I could come tonight to telling you in some regard would be tonight of the lions of Tarshish tonight. But there are some other scriptures that we will look at in weeks to come. But most people tonight say no. The United States of America is not mentioned. America tonight is not in the scripture. Well, I asked you this question this evening, if that is true, if that tonight be the truth tonight, then what happened to the greatest, the most powerful, and the most influential nation in the world? Tonight, America is the most powerful. We're the greatest and most powerful and most influential nation in the world at this point in time. And so tonight, if we're not mentioned in the scripture and we have no part in the last days, what happens to this country? Well, I say this to you this evening. America, the United States of America, is in a state of decline. And we're in a free fall, I believe, tonight, and we're falling faster and faster each day upon this world. Now, why is that taking place? And why tonight are we in a state of decline? And what is happening to our nation this evening? Peter Marshall, Jr., many years ago, wrote a book called The Light and the Glory. And it was a brief history of some things that took place in the United States. And one of the things that he said was that when America, when North America was founded, and especially the United States, people came to these shores searching and looking to honor and worship God. And they came to South America looking to honor and search for gold. Tonight, I believe tonight that we cannot say that about the United States today. Seems like tonight we may be in the reverse of that, and tonight we're honoring greed and gold instead of God. Edward Gibbon, a English historian, wrote a three-volume book entitled The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. And he examined the reasons the Roman Empire went into decline and why that it phased and passed from the earth. And as he wrote that book, and it's a very detailed work, it's very hard to read at times, but he summarized it in a sense this evening. And so as you read some things that he wrote, I believe tonight you can see a great parallel between America and the Roman Empire and why those things begin to take place in our country. The first thing that Edward Gibbons said that was leading, and one of the leading causes of the decline of the Roman Empire, was the disintegration of the family unit. Tonight we're living in a time that we see the families in America disintegrating. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote, and one of the signs that he said of the coming of the last days, and one of the descriptions of the perilous times, would be that people would be without natural affection. They would not have natural affection. They would not be naturally tonight affectionate toward those things that we are naturally affectionate to. Sometimes we might look at that a little bit different tonight, but as I look around the world tonight, I find that the two-parent family tonight is being phased out. Tonight we are living in a time when most families tonight consist in a great number of places tonight, the majority of them of a single-parent household, and many of the times, and a great deal of the majority of that is single moms raising kids alone. And we'll look at maybe a little bit of that in a moment, but understand this, that's a disintegration of the family unit. And our nation tonight encourages this, and they do not want the family to be together anymore. Every way that and everywhere you turn, they're trying to alienate and do away with the family unit. And we're living in a day tonight that families are split and divided. They have no seemingly love for each other. I read a humorous story not long ago about two little boys out on the playground, and they got in an argument, and one of them said, my brother's bigger than your brother. Another little boy said, well, that's not nothing. Said, my daddy can whoop your daddy. And he looked back at him and said, that shouldn't be too big a feat. Your daddy is my daddy. It's not humorous tonight, but it's absolute truth many times, isn't it? And as you see children going off to school, and as you tonight view many times, and they have no seemingly parents who love them and care for them, and tonight are concerned about them and burdened about them. And the family unit in America is disintegrating. You go into our little area right here, and we're enjoying goodness and greatness. Don't misunderstand me. But you move away from this area tonight and you begin to move up in to many of the northern areas and some of the western places tonight, and you will find there that there are children tonight who know not even where their parents are, have no idea where their next meal's coming from. They've been tossed here and tossed there and to and fro. And the parents have no natural affection for children. It's in lust they bring them forth into this world. And the family unit is being disintegrated this evening in our country. The next thing Edward Gibbons said was a time of financial and economic weakness. The Roman government began to tax. They tax the rich, and then they begin to tax others tonight. And the best way they could, they begin to try to phase out the middle class. Tonight we're living in a time when our taxes are sometimes equal to half of our pay. I don't know what it is now, but I read that somewhere a couple of 3 years ago that most people worked until sometime in April to simply pay all the taxes they have to pay within a year. I'm sure it's further in the year than that now. And we're being taxed heavily. You look around you tonight, and all of the middle class tonight is being phased out and having to work for somebody else. All your mom and pop stores are being gone tonight. Everything is going to big conglomerates tonight who get tax breaks from the government, who tonight are able this evening to bribe their way into prosperity. money became worthless in the Roman Empire. When they couldn't tax enough, they simply began to not put as much silver and gold and copper into their coinage. Surprisingly, tonight in Forks Knox, Kentucky, we're supposed to have enough gold there to back all of the paper currency that we have and that we printed tonight. Don't believe a word of that. Wouldn't surprise me if Fort Knox was empty. You see, money became worthless. We're, what, $13 trillion in debt. Can you imagine $13 trillion in debt? How much is $1 trillion? Somebody worked it out, and they said that if you earn a dollar a second, every second of the day, somebody pays you and gives you a dollar, or every second in the day, in 12 days, you'll become a millionaire. You work it out home. That's wrong. I didn't work this out, okay. But 12 days, you'd become a millionaire. It would take you tonight 32 years to become a billionaire. And 31,000 years to become a trillionaire. Our money's worthless tonight. We're so far in debt, how can we ever get out? We spend tonight $1. I mean, we take in $1 and put out $2 this evening. Now, it doesn't take a lot of sense to realize tonight that most businesses would go bankrupt in a short period of time. I enjoyed reading the article Amanda wrote about her dad in the paper in Carter's TV service, but if he started out many years ago, about the first year or three or four, pretty soon if he'd have been spending $2 and taking in a dollar, he wouldn't have lasted that long. And nobody else would tonight. We're in great economic and financial trouble in this country. And to be fair with you, I believe tonight that economic collapse is probably imminent tonight. That eventually it's going to catch up with us and come crashing down around us this evening. It nearly did just a few years ago, and we came up with a plan to try to stave it off, but I don't believe tonight, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later in another part of this, but we're living in times when tonight is bad. Welfare and giveaway programs. The Romans became used to being able to get something for nothing. 1 in 8 people in our country tonight is on welfare. 1 in 4 children tonight receive all their food from some kind of government agent. We've got to the point tonight that we expect handouts. We want somebody to help us and give something to us, and we're living in giveaway programs tonight. I read the other day, and I hope you don't take this wrong, but listen carefully. Because I was born, I was raised in Smithville, but anytime you're going to spend $600,000+ to build a town hall in the city of Smithville, there's something wrong, folks. $60,000 metal building take care of anything they needed. But we got government grants that's going to pay them $600,000+. That's ridiculous this evening. Well, if we don't get it, somebody else will. That's the wrong attitude tonight. That's the reason our country's in the shape that it's in, and one of the reasons tonight is that everybody's got their hand out and they want something for nothing tonight. Nobody wants to work for what they get anymore. Sometimes we pay people not to work. A pastor friend of mine told me that he knew of a family that was in dire need, so he went out and began to look, and he found a man that was willing to hire the man of the house, and he went to him and told him, he said, I found you a job, and you need to go and see this individual, tell him I sent you, and he'll be willing to hire you and give you a job and give you a steady paycheck. A few weeks later, he saw the man. He said, well, did you get a job? He said, nah, I draw more unemployment than that. No wonder we're in shape we're in tonight. Pleasure consuming us tonight, becoming obsessive with it, and becomes more brutal every year. I'm amazed tonight at the amount of thugs that we have tonight. We glorify sports heroes. One recently charged with murder. I read this morning in the paper, I don't remember who he was or who he played for, but some football player in the NFL was suspended for 4 games because he tested positive for some kind of drug. I don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm not here for that. But I got a son. If they tested him positive for drugs, they wouldn't suspend him 4 games. They'd send him back to prison. Now, what's the difference? Now, you think about that this evening. Because he can play football or some other sport, well, he's a little bit different. I read the other day, and I've been, and of course, I'm not telling you I don't watch football, but I'm beginning to the point I don't know if it's really worth watching anymore. And some of the things disturb me. I saw where this guy, player from South Carolina, nearly killed somebody with a hit on the football field, and now he's a celebrity. Well, that's something to celebrate, isn't it? We're obsessed with sports in this country. We're obsessed with pleasure. That's what happened to the Roman Empire. Christians was usually the brunt of their pleasure. Expanding our military until the point that it's stretched so that we cannot even defend our own nation. We stretch them thinner and thinner. We're fighting wars and skirmishes around the globe. And I'm not here tonight. I'm not anti-patriotic tonight, but tonight as I read the scripture, and I might as well say this tonight, we're never going to win wars in Iraq and Iran and those other places tonight because Ishmael's still fighting Isaac. And there's still tonight going to be bad blood between the Jews and the Arams. And tonight, I want to say this to you, and one of the things that I want you to understand real quickly, and please don't turn me off when I say that, but one of the great indicators, and we're going to look at this in great detail, is the rise of Islam. It's rising faster and faster and faster, and it's a dead enemy tonight of America and Israel. Don't ever forget that. They can say what they want, and tonight they can publish what they think tonight, but I want to tell you, Islam tonight is an enemy of Israel and America. It's the enemy of Christianity tonight. And they're going to kill in the name of Allah. They're going to conquer in the name of Allah this evening. We have decreasing morals and ethics. What are we teaching tonight in our schools? And what are we teaching tonight across our country? We glorify adultery and fornication. And all the things tonight that seemingly are wrong. We'll kill babies in the room and marry people of the same sex and so many things this evening. I came across something and I want to read it to you if you'll allow me this evening. I found this and I mentioned it this morning. But it says Sodom had no Bible. It said a phrase from the pen of the great revivalist Jonathan Edwards. They said, an angry God is without any promise or obligation at all. We ponder the fact that America's had advantages that gospel-wise Sodom never had. Sodom had no churches. We have thousands. Sodom had no Bible. We have millions. Sodom had no preachers. We have 10,000 plus thousands. Sodom had no Bible schools. We have at least 250. Sodom had no prayer meetings. We have thousands. Sodom had no gospel broadcast. We're blessed with Christian broadcast. Sodom had no histories of God's judgment to warn it of danger. We have volumes of them. Sodom perished in spite of all of these disadvantages. America today is living only by the mercy of God. The only reason we're not smoking the fire wrath of a holy God is mercy, mercy, mercy. America as a nation already has posted all the warning signs that Sodom liked. The dice is loaded against America. What obligation has God to a people who spend 1 hour in church on Sunday, then spend the rest of the time blaspheming his name? And he goes on and on and on tonight about things that take place and took place in Sodom that we don't have tonight. Sodom had no Bible, as we have this evening. They had no warning, and God has no obligation to us. The text that I read in your hearing this evening, God was here talking to the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah. And he was telling them of their rise tonight and how that he brought them and washed them and cleansed them and made them a great nation upon the face of the earth. And yet when they became great, they didn't worship him, but they began to trust in their own selves. I believe tonight that God has blessed America, and I believe that he's brought us up and made us a great nation, but we begin to trust in ourselves instead of trusting in God. And as he closed out the 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and as he began to tell about the judgment that God was, that he was going to bring upon the nation tonight, upon the city of Jerusalem, he says this. In verse number 48, he says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me, and therefore I took them away as I saw good." God said that Sodom tonight wasn't as bad as Jerusalem, because Sodom had no Bible. Sodom had no warning. We've had all the warnings tonight. God's blessed us as a great nation this evening, and we're headed in free fall into decline this evening. I ask you to pray for this nation. I ask you tonight to think about some things that are going on in our country. And until we come again tonight and possibly honor Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and until we come again tonight to letting the Lord tonight be our God and trust in him, then the decline's going to continue. I really believe tonight that America is in decline, that we're headed toward that slippery slope till we'll not be a nation anymore. Where we'll be, I have no idea on how long it'll take, but I see some indicators tonight of some other things that I want to point out to you in a week or two, or in the next couple of weeks. You pray tonight that God will open our eyes and open the people in this country's eyes. I don't know if there's any hope for us as a national people, but I tell you tonight, there's still hope in Jesus Christ for us as individuals. Amen. And the grace and the mercy of God still reaches out. Yeah. And his love for us is still there this evening. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We ask you to take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious holy name I pray. Amen.